because you can handle the truth.
Hi and welcome to Last Man Standing with me, Paul Stevenson, here on RBN. I will be live with you for the next hour here. This is, well, as usual, I'm a little bit ahead. The 18th of October over here in the UK, the early hours, which is 9 p.m. Central Time there, where you guys are in the US, and 10 p.m. through to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on the 17th. So welcome to the show, everyone. Sorry for the slight delay in the start there, but I had muted myself and didn't realize. All right. I'm going to be joined by Dr. Patrick Slattery tonight. We were supposed to get together and have a chat. I think it was Thursday night, and something came up my end, and it couldn't be helped, so we had to put that in the back burner. So I just thought I would see... earlier I contacted him to see if he wanted to come on tonight so we could have a chat, because I do love chatting to Patrick. He had a couple of little technical issues, so if it takes 5 minutes, fair enough, but let's just check. Are you with me, Patrick, or do you need 5 minutes?
I'm here. Yep.
In fact, okay, you are there. All right.
Before you did, or as our listeners can attest to.
You were what, sir?
I joined the show before you did, as our listeners can attest to.
Yeah, all good, all good.
Trying to do a Paul Stevenson imitation, impression, but I couldn't really do it, so I was just saying, hello, hello.
All right. I'd love to hear someone do an impression of me, but...
I'll work on it.
Anyway. Okay, so when we were talking off-air earlier, yeah, we got into these... You've been doing some thinking about some things and pertaining to these vaccine mandates and the vaccines generally. So let's look at some of that stuff. What have you got? Where do you want to start?
I don't know. I mean, everything's so crazy. We've got our backs against the wall. You know, people used to say Gaza was the biggest open air prison in the world, and it's not. Australia is, but we're not that far behind Australia. I mean, everything is just so Orwellian.
Closing in.
Yeah, it's closing in on us, and yet a lot of people just think, oh, well, you know, nothing's happening. No, you know, it's just very reasonable countermeasures to this this corona, deadly coronavirus. And, you know, it is closing in. It's very much closing in. And we are, how far are we from the point of no return? And in between now and the time of the point of no return, we've got to get people woken up to what's going on in order to resist it. And, you know, what's the best strategy for doing that? Is this the time to go all out on all sorts of things that I don't know. We were talking specifically about some of the claims that are made about the vaccines, and
yeah,
there's a lot of claims that are made, and even if some of these claims were true, they're hard to believe. And yet there's a lot of things you could say about the vaccines without getting into the biology necessarily, that, you know, the issues of personal sovereignty over one's own body. There's all sorts of issues of, you know, setting a precedent for the future. There's also sorts of things that could be done with these vaccines, even if they're not doing it yet. And so the question is, we are in a difficult situation. We need a good strategy going forward. And is this the time to push a viruses aren't real agenda, for instance? Even if that's
what you're
saying? Viruses aren't real. Viruses don't actually cause disease. There's no such, you know, there's no such thing as pathogens. There's a lot of things, that these are nanobots, or there's a lot of claims that people make that even if you believe it, are very, very difficult to convince many people of, especially in a short period of time. So
yeah, and I wonder how relevant. I wonder how relevant those types of things are about what's in the vaccines in terms of that type of nanobot technology and things like that. Because, I mean, the wider picture to me, it seems to me anyway, that it doesn't have to be that bad, you know, for the vaccines to be a problem and for the vaccine passports to be a problem. Or as I mentioned to you as well, the whole idea of even of, okay, if they were to say, okay, you don't have to ever take a vaccine, which is obviously not what's happening, but if they just decided to drop the whole vaccine thing and said, okay, well, we'll let everybody prove that they've got, you know, if they've done a test in the last month or the last 3 weeks to prove they've got antibodies or whatever, or that they've had COVID or that they're negative, then you're still relying on, you know, reliable tests, which have proven not to be the case. But also, if they can get you onto their little some sort of passport, whether it's to prove that you've got antibodies or that you've had the vaccine, they can bring in the control system and accelerate the control system through that. And that's my concern. We've seen this been carried out in New York State, for example, where it's like, okay, we're civilized people, you know, we're not going to like force you down and stick a vaccine in you, but if you're going to lose your job and you're not entitled to welfare. Mm-hmm. That's how civilized we are. Mm-hmm. And if they can do that with a vaccine proof, they could do it with a proof of antibodies or that's my concern as well, that it's not just the vaccine, it's they want that app on your phone, they want all this information, and they want this some sort of papers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
or else you become a social pariah.
Right. I mean, so the vax is an example. I mean, what they want is total control. And right now the vax is the means for getting that. Now, you know, regarding some of the thing is, we had 20 years ago, you had 9/11, and we never got to the bottom of 9/11 because there were so many mutually contradictory and very, and in many cases, unbelievable claims that were made, you know, regarding holograms or all sorts of other things. And
the water has been muddied.
Yeah, and so we never got to the bottom of that. And that is what I fear is happening here. And so, for instance, the nanobots. I'm just using that as one example. All sorts of claims are made about this. Nanobots. Now, on the one hand, there is all sorts of nanotechnology that's being developed. And the idea that at some point, you know, nanobots could be injected into people and for nefarious purposes, it's not beyond the realm of the possible. But there's no evidence, there's no real evidence that's being produced that that's what's going on now. And like you just said, I mean, you could, even if these were just legitimate vaccines, or even just like some sort of tracer chemical that was inert. Let's just say it was an inert tracer chemical or whatever.
7-Up.
Yeah, 7-Up or saline or whatever.
But they're taking
records of who is submitting to it. And if you don't submit to it, then you're not allowed to go into the stores, which is what's happening. It's happening in the state of Hesse in Germany. It's happening in Latvia. It's going to be happening in a lot of places. Not being able to shop if you can't prove you've had the vaccine. And then of course, it doesn't have to be a vaccine. What if you haven't undergone your race sensitivity training? What if you haven't?
It could be anything.
It could be anything. Anything that they can document. Yeah. And this is the kind of tyranny. And so that's why I think really the tyranny aspect of it is what we should be emphasizing rather than biology or nanotechnology or things that we cannot prove them to other people.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's largely secondary. I think we're looking more at the content of these vaccines rather than the wider implications and the consequences of them and what they represent, you know. That being said, there's enough evidence to show that people are having adverse reactions to these things. And also, I think to prove our point here as well, it certainly goes a long way to prove our point and to dispel some of the myths around the vaccine. And it, quite frankly, it completely undermines the credibility of the need for a vaccine passports. When there was a big study done, and it was a significant study done by Harvard University, and it was carried in the EJE, which is the European Journal of Epidemiology, and it was also carried at the NIH, the National Institute of Health. So it's not some sort of fringe journal that they can dismiss as a conspiracy theorist. And it basically concluded, the study revealed that increases in COVID-19 are unrelated to levels of vaccination. And this was done across 68 countries and 2,947 counties in the United States. Now, this study, it has been done, and as I say, it's been published in the European Journal of Epidemiology and the NIH, and this all at the same time as Biden is basically mandating employers to be vaccinated as early as next week. You know, and my understanding is that what he's doing is going to require employees ensure workers are vaccinated or regularly tested, and that'll apply to companies with 100 employees or more, and apply to a total of 80 million workers. But as this study reveals, if there's no evidence to suggest that, and there isn't, I could go into it in the study in detail, then what is even the need for the vaccine passport on a health basis? Answer, none, zero, nada. Well, and that just confirms what we're saying. This is not a public health issue. It's a tyranny issue.
Yeah. So, a few years back, I had to do something in court, and I went in, talked to my lawyer, and I had a ton of evidence. I just had this and this and this and this, and he says, "Look, sometimes less is more. So just leave all that at home. This is the one thing I want. This is the one thing I'm going to present. This is all we need." And with this, you don't need to prove that there's no virus out there. You don't need to prove that nobody's getting sick. All you need to convince people of is that this is not an existential threat to our health that requires all of these unprecedented measures. That's as much as you need to prove. And then, if you have things like, the measures that they're using, not only are they not necessary, but they're harmful, right? The masks are harmful. The vaccines are having adverse reactions. You know, there is there's tyranny. There is kind of a crisis in psychological health. There's a lot of bad things that are happening because of these anti-COVID measures, which are unnecessary because this is not an existential public health threat. You know, even if you, like I would say, if you want to have certain programs to help protect the truly vulnerable, whatever, that's okay. But none of this stuff that applies to the entire population, none of this stuff, no lockdowns, no vaccines, social distancing and masks, none of that.
Not to mention even in this country, the billions of dollars that was spent in furloughing workers and everything, and all the inflation that's now coming to light. I mean, it's staggering. And even at the time, if you took the amount of money that's been used in this, and of course, this money is always whoever's closest to the money printers are the ones who've got real assets and the ones who are getting rich off this. Meanwhile, the working and the middle classes are going to experience increased, you know, suffering from the devaluing of their currencies and their savings and the spending power. And the whole system even economically rewards sort of, you know, just getting into debt and just being reckless with money. And those who have been saving and have been conservative, they're going to suffer because their purchasing power and spending power is going to suffer with the amount of money that was created. And none of it was ever necessary. All they had to do at the start, like you said, was, you know, securely, you know, take those who were vulnerable and the elderly and put even a percentage, when it probably wouldn't have been, it would have been a tiny percentage of the money that they've wasted, just to protect those people, you know. And the whole idea that they're protecting the NHS, they've kind of destroyed the NHS because there's a backlog of cancer cases and other serious illnesses. As a result of all this, now face-to-face appointments with doctors is massively down. The talk about the cure being worse than the disease, you know. So, I mean, and that we've been talking about that for years. And then, as you say, you know, even some of the consequences then of the vaccines. I mean, Canada have recently stopped using the Moderna jab for males under 24. Finland has recently joined Sweden and Denmark, and they're limiting the use of the Moderna jab for young people, which is under 30, over concerns of cardiovascular side effects, basically myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart. And there is virtually no risk to anybody under 30, and there has been young people under the age of 30 and below that have taken that vaccine for no good reason and have suffered myocarditis, including deaths. They might not be huge in number, but it was an absolutely, completely unnecessary risk.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, honestly, doing absolutely nothing would have been way better than what they did. It might not have been the best way to approach it, but if you did absolutely nothing, and assuming that this is more or less a typical virus, which is my assumption, it would have spread, you know, more or less rapidly throughout populations. It would have culled the the elderly, the very vulnerable, the frail and elderly, as flus do, as staph infections do, as colds do, and it would have been over in a matter of months. And probably wouldn't have even made that much news. It would have just been, oh, it was, you know, we had kind of a tough flu.
Exactly.
Right? If they were to take the types of precautions we're talking about, older, the vulnerable people, they could avoid going out in public. Maybe you'd have some programs to deliver meals to them or whatever. Then maybe you could have protected some of those people from getting caught up with the virus while it spreads. And, you know, it spreads. The population gets its herd immunity like they do to virus flu strains every year. That would have been that.
All right, we're going to break, Patu.
It's so much bigger than me. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, you're back with me, Paul Stevenson, here on Last Man Standing on this Sunday, the 17th of October. As always, I'm a little bit ahead. It's the 18th early hours of the 18th of October. I'm live with Dr. Patrick Slattery, and are you back with me, Patrick?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so yeah, this would have been, if anything, it would have been it would have been seen maybe as a bad flu season, and all they had to do was, you know, securely sequester the old and the vulnerable and target our health services and the money involved rather than what we've done. So, I mean, it's been such a large act of criminality. It's been such a huge act of audacity that it's kind of difficult to comprehend. It really is. It's almost like such a large level of criminality and audacity that it's hard to actually process it. You know, that's for people like us who have our heads in this stuff. So I can only imagine, and I know from talking to other people, they just look at you like a blank stare. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't understand.
It is. And, you know, from the very start, the response was bizarre. The response of the policy response was bizarre, with the social distancing and the mask mandates and the economic shutdowns. It was just bizarre, because, you know, we've never quarantined the healthy. I mean, these are all unprecedented, bizarre measures, and you had very serious people, people from, you know, like John Ioannidis of Stanford University, who's the head of a department, I don't know which department, immunology or whatever, saying, wait, you don't do this. And Newt Witkowski and Scott Atlas and a lot of people from elite universities, and the whole, they call it the Great Barrington Declaration, where you had
thousands of them.
Yeah. And you look at that list and, you know, you see all these institutions, and they're all shut down. And the massive censorship of rational voices. So obviously the policymakers knew exactly what they were doing. They weren't trying to do anything for public health. Now, you know, one thing is, like I said before the break, honestly, if they had done absolutely nothing, it would have been way better. I do think the measures that that we suggested, very targeted measures, would have been reasonable to do. But part of the reason I think it's important when we're talking to people to say that everybody has been brainwashed into thinking that this was some horrible plague, and to go out and say, no, we should have done absolutely nothing, even though absolutely nothing probably wouldn't have been such a bad thing, but it makes you sound cold. And so I do think it's when you're talking to, like, here I'll say, well, doing absolutely nothing would have been a lot better than what we did. And I do legitimately think some of these targeted measures would have been justified, but I think it's very important, even if you think but I think it's important to say it anyway, because so many people are freaked out, and so many people, if you say we should have done nothing, they are going to respond, oh, what, you would have killed my grandmother, you would have killed my mother. It's like, no, I mean, for the truly vulnerable, the elderly, the, you know, truly vulnerable, would have some measures that would have been a reasonable response. I think that it's easier to get people on your side, because this is how they get people, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's racism, no matter what it is they make someone feel that someone they love would be at risk if we were in charge, right? And that's I mean, whether it's that's why they want everybody to have a black nephew or a gay cousin or whatever it is. They want everybody to feel that if people like us were ever to get in charge, somebody they know would die.
Yeah, they need to get interfere and influence human relationships as much as possible, so that they can then prey on sort of innate and instinctive fears, regardless of how ridiculous and unrealistic and unnecessary those fears are. I mean, it's like the Wizard of right at the very start, I called the coronavirus like the Wizard of Oz virus. You know, like, remember when he pulls back the curtain and it's this little little guy in there? And that's what they do all the time. You know, it's they project this great fear, they terrify everybody. But when you pull back the curtain, it's like the Wizard of Oz. It's a little guy in there. He's just he's deceiving everybody, you know?
Yeah, and so many people, by now, everybody knows people who supposedly had it, and just fine.
All right, hold that thought, Patrick.
Chopin's Nocturne.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Welcome back here to Last Man Standing with me, Paul Stevenson, and I'm joined tonight with Dr. Patrick Slattery. Patrick, we're just going to change direction a little bit, but I will point out, go to our listeners to check out that study. You can pull that up. It was published by the European Journal of Epidemiology, the study done at Harvard, and it really does demonstrate that not only do the findings reveal that being vaccinated and being, you know, double vaxxed and fully vaxxed, I don't know how many vaxxes there are, boosters there are, does not correlate and result in lower transmission, but it reveals that countries which have very low vaccination are also have low transmission. So in other words, it's the complete opposite of the findings which is pushed by largely by the majority of mainstream media. And so it was worth checking that out. We had a tragic event over here. I think it was Friday, was it? Sir David Amos, who was a member of Parliament, was stabbed at an event where he was holding an event for his constituents, and he meets them in person. It was actually at a Methodist church over here.
and he was stabbed 17 times to his death by a Somalian. And it turns out, if the article here in Sky is to be believed, that Ali Harbi, no, that's Ali Harbi, it's his father was actually was a spokesperson or a, let me see if I can get this, but he was connected to the Somalian, my mind has gone blank.
The embassy?
He was, yes. He was some sort of figure within, you know, circles. Let me see. I think I pulled up the wrong story here. But so, he said, he said he was traumatized as it emerged that the 25-year-old had made an appointment to see the MP through his constituency office and had not turned up at the church randomly at Leon C. Okay, so terror suspect accused of killing MP is a son of a former top aide to Somali prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he declined to comment when he was asked by Sky News about his son, a 25-year-old British national. Of course he is. In an exchange of written messages on Saturday, other than to say he was traumatized by the event, a Sky News correspondent who knocked at the address in London where he's believed to be staying received no reply on Sunday morning. However, two police officers then arrived at the property and were left inside. And his father just quoted, the only thing that he apparently said was that he's not okay, that he's traumatized by this. But something is not right here. Mr. Culain previously worked as a director of communications at the office of the Prime Minister in Somalia. And he is thought to have been living in the UK for the last 3 years. He has an active profile in social media with his Twitter feed showing a keen interest in the UK, including posts on Liverpool Football Club, the Grenfell Tower tragedy and Brexit.
And we're talking about... father of the stabber or the stabber?
The father.
Okay.
But so this is not just some guy who came off the boat last week. This is a guy whose father is connected to the Somalian government. He's a diplomat, it would seem. So this guy was arrested on Friday, and he's been held in custody. He was also on a terrorist watch list.
Well, they watched. I have a question because I've read about this, and of course, the whole thing is very tragic. And they talk about the the MP was having a surgery in the church. What do they mean by a surgery? This must have.
That's a very good question. I don't know myself. I don't know myself what they mean by that, but it's. It's an event where he holds, it's like a meeting where constituents can come and talk to him about their concerns and ideas and feedback. And it's still something over here that we do that, you know, people meet in person and they haven't got a lot of security. It doesn't take 5 minutes for something like this to happen where it goes back to the kind of thing we were talking about. It's always, never let a crisis go to waste. They are ready, Priti Patel. I mean, I find it rich that you have these kind of people when these sorts of events happen. You could Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, who's done nothing but immigration. They come out and, deeply condemning it and what they're going to do. But why don't they just do what the British people overwhelmingly want? Why don't they stop immigration? Why don't they stop these people coming across in the boats? I mean, these people have got blood on their hands every time there's a terrorist attack in this country. And and that's just the terrorist attacks. It's not all the other stuff that they suppress, the grooming gangs, all that type of stuff, the escalation of knife crime, you name it. And she's already talking about censoring anonymous profiles on Facebook. So they always use these as an opportunity to clamp down even further. What makes me nervous when something like this happens is that they expand their powers of how much they can target people, but they won't really ever get used to target Muslims. They'll get used to target who they see as their real political enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got that that other Wizard of Oz, which is all kind of just, it's in the background, the white supremacist threat. And those kind of, you know, laws that they bring in, you know, they bring them in with wider nets, and they can use them with expediency and when they need them and when it's convenient for them to clamp down on anyone who's a genuine threat to them, you know?
Well, exactly. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm almost at a loss for words, which isn't very common for me. Okay, here's the thing. So you get these immigrants who come over, and in many cases, and I think there's like in France, there's been some studies of this. Even if the immigrants who actually come over are not even where they're not problematic, the first generation or the second generation, their children who are born in France or born in UK or born in America or born in Germany tend to be more radical in so many cases. I mean, what you don't have is immigrants coming over, having children, and then the children growing up and assimilating into society, you know, without causing problem. You don't have that.
No, you're looking at a mass generational national security risk.
Right. So I mean, and you have it everywhere. And you look at who was burning down the suburbs of Paris, year after year. And these weren't immigrants; they were like the children of immigrants, for the most part.
Yeah.
And so there's all these people are coming over, and of course, right now the southern border of the United States is a complete invasion. And not only are these people going to be committing crime, but their children are going to be—they're going to be hostile. They're going to be indoctrinated to have a chip on their shoulder. And you know, this—it's hard to say this is anything other than an invasion. And of course
it's an invasion.
Who's responsible for it?
Well, every major Jewish organization, and they are large, slick, aggressive, funded, infinitely funded with unlimited funds, lobby our politicians, those who are not descendants of that same tribe. They intimidate and bribe most of them, our perfidious political elite class, to be so short-sighted and self-centered to completely eradicate the soul and potentially the actual existence of Europe itself, you know, because which is something that wasn't achieved in World War One. There was a lot of wounds, there was a lot of scars, but those buildings and those cities could be built up again. But what's happening now with demographics is actually eradicating the mere existence and the soul of the white European nations and its peoples, you know. I mean, it's just painful to watch it, you know.
And so to be over there, I mean, What would it be like? You mentioned Priti Patel, and she is Priti Patel. She is a Indian. She's probably still in her 40s, right?
Yeah.
And you know, here she is. She is what is it, the home minister, and she's in charge of immigration. She's in charge of the police. Is that what she is? And you know, here
and she's an immigrant.
Is she an immigrant?
And she's an immigrant. I mean, her parents are immigrants. So I mean, you know. It's not. I don't believe it's by accident these people end up in these jobs, which end up trashing and destroying our countries. Because guess what? It's not theirs. They've got no attachment. They've no heritage here. They arrived here last Tuesday. I say that, you know, with hyperbole, but in some cases, you know, there's people who did arrive last Tuesday on boats. But you know, Priti Patel is an immigrant here of half Indian and half Ghanese, I think. Is it right? Ghana, who arrived here in the 60s.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, she's got African. Yeah.
So she's.
Yeah, her parents are African.
Chlamydia Harris, who is half black from Jamaica. She's half Jamaican and half Indian. And then, you know,
she's got Ugandan Indian heritage.
Oh, but the Ugandan Indians are Indian. They're not Negroes. Because she doesn't look.
Okay, but I think.
There were a lot of Indians in Uganda. And then Idi Amin kicked them out.
Specifically, her grandparents were born in Gujarat, India, before emigrating to Uganda and running a convenience store in Kampala. And in the 60s, her parents emigrated to the UK. So that's now the Home Secretary. I mean...
Yeah, no attachment to England. And, you know, so yesterday I was listening to Farron Shoaf's show, and he was talking about somebody whose name he could not pronounce. I can't remember what the name was. The Undersecretary of Treasury, I think the number two person at the Treasury Department, saying that everybody has to be vaccinated before, you know, I hear the name and I'm suspicious. I look it up, and this is a 40-year-old Nigerian. He's 40 years old, and, you know, he was an official in the Obama administration. So these people, they come over from other countries, and then they're given, you know, if they're reasonably sharp, they're given a fast track into the elite. And so here you got this 40-year-old Nigerian kid who's telling all Americans they all have to be vaccinated or none of this will end. And of course it's certainly not going to end even if we are vaccinated.
Yeah, it's hard to swallow. It's hard enough at the best of times without looking at someone who had no presence here, who's got no history here up until 40 years ago, and they are now dictating to you. I mean, it really is hard to swallow. We've got the same thing over here.
Probably 20 years ago, because he came here. He's an immigrant. He's not born here.
Right, yeah.
Nigerians.
It's a disgrace. And we've got the same thing with Sadiq Khan and people like that. As I say, Priti Patel, Sajid Javid. They're everywhere. I mean, and so, you know, on some even at like local level, if you go into an area which is densely populated, which so many of them are now, with, you know, brown people, it's going to be an Indian or, you know, some sort of Middle Eastern MP. Again, they are simply not invested in our country and its heritage and its culture, maintaining that and seeing it going forward the way someone who's actually a native in this of the country. Now, there might be some who are. But largely speaking, I think it's safe to assume they do not. I mean, am I going to care about, you know, the future of Syria more than I care about the future of Ireland or England or France? No, I'm not, because it's foreign to me and it's nothing to do with me. Whereas I'm from Ireland. I've got English blood on my mother and my grandfather's side. And I used to go on holiday in France when I was a kid and I loved it. And it's just across the channel, you know, so. It's just human nature, you know.
Yeah, it is. So I don't know. I mean, I know I sound like a broken record all the time talking about the Jewish power, but you know, you look at the problems. I mean, an American, I live in America. What we have here, and you know, you've got. I mentioned this total invasion of the southern border, and you know, who's in charge of the border right now? It's the Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, who is a Jew who was born in Cuba. He's a Jewish immigrant to America. And then, you know, you look at the crime. We were talking about crime. And blacks being exempt from prosecution, and whereas whites are supremacists and, you know, a white who was invited into the Capitol on January 6th would be in solitary confinement, yet a black kid who shot up his school gets out the next day on bail. And who's in charge of this? This is the Justice Department. This is Merrick Garland. He's a Jew. And we're talking about the Treasury Department, and, you know, they're going to have the IRS will be collecting data on all bank accounts with balances over 600. And who's in charge of this? This is Janet Yellen. She's a Jew. She's not just a Jew. She's like, she's Kyle's mom from South Park. I mean, that's how Jewish she is. And everywhere you look, the State Department pushing for war with Iran, war with China, and who's running it? It's a Jew. And the thing is, I don't like having to talk about Jews all the time, but I would just prefer it if they would stop scheming. If they'd stop scheming, then I'll stop talking about them all the time.
It is intolerable, the devastation they cause. It really, really is. I mean, they are literally turning the trends are very, very much towards turning the white European nations into third world countries, demographically, socially, economically. Everything they're doing is going towards that. They can kill two birds with one stone. They can act their revenge on white people for perceived slights in history, and these people never forget anything. It's passed down through the synagogues and their little meetings everywhere, and their own genuine Jewish supremacy is preached that they are supreme. I mean, you're talking about a Talmudic people who are causing these problems, and you know they just continue relentlessly. It's just anyway.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Your song?
Yes.
That's quite good.
So we're back live, are we?
We are.
All right, we're back live. And yes, we were talking about music offline. I've got a few of my little songs there in between that I use here as little jingles for the radio show. But yeah, Patrick, you know, we have to keep talking about it because they are causing so many problems. It's, you know, you can demonstrate it. It's not some sort of crazy conspiracy. And the more abuse they perpetrate and the more destruction they cause, the more preoccupied they are.
Who are you talking about there, Paul? That wouldn't be the Greeks you're talking about.
The what, sorry?
That wouldn't be the Greeks you're talking about.
The Illuminati, of course. Illuminati. And the Knights Templar. I just have trouble. I have trouble dealing with concepts that I can't identify. I can't give them names. I can name Janet Yellen. Yeah, I know what she's doing. I know what Ben Bernanke did. I know what these Jewish immigration groups are doing, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, we got our backs against the wall. There's this whole the vaccine issue. If you're going to die on any hill, I mean, are there any hills beyond us isn't this where we have to take a stand? And it has to be done. It's now or never. And I don't feel like I need to convince if somebody is willing to stand up against the vaccine tyranny, I don't need to convince them about the Jews right now. Okay. But a lot of people are identifying that what's going on is crazy, that the people who rule us don't like us. And if they want an explanation, they can get an explanation, depending on the situation. And if they're blaming the Chinese and being like, we've got to go to war with the Chinese because they're doing this to us, then absolutely they're going to get the explanation from me. But, you know, even then it's kind of situational. I mean, ultimately people have to know who's behind all this. But right now, you know, just kind of going back to what we were talking about at the start of the show, right now we've got our backs against the wall, and we've got to put out this fire, this vaccine mandate fire, and deal with other things maybe later. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you have to deal with the immediacy of things as you have to prioritize certain things. And yeah, they will be. I mean, we don't want to end up in a situation where there's those vaccine passports are just normal. That we end up then having these credit scores and, you know, social credit scores and things, because it's going to be a nightmare for people like me and you, Patrick, and probably a lot more people that I'm even aware of. But we're at the end of the show. Dr. Patrick Slattery is live Monday to Friday, 1 p.m., I believe, Central Time. Or is it 2 p.m.? On National Bugle Radio. Check him out there. And I'll be back again next Sunday. Thank you for joining me, folks, and take care.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.